Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. All right, so I'm going to go over some of the statistics from Monday night's game where the Saints come out 43-19 over the Washington Redskins. And it was, you know, we've been saying it all evening, it was Drew Brees' night. Drew Brees breaks the all-time passing record. Now, what's interesting, if you didn't really realize it, he actually had to pass two guys. He was only like 100-some-odd yards behind Brett Favre. He passed him up early on a one-yard pass to the tight end Hill, and then later broke the all-time passing record, passing up Peyton Manning when he went to Traquan Smith for a 63-yard touchdown pass. Now, on a blown coverage, but nonetheless, the Saints got the ball back late in the first half, and everybody knew that if, you know, it was a two-minute type offense, which it inevitably was, that he would have a very good chance of breaking the record. Now, I don't think anybody expected that it would go down the way it did, where just one pass, one play, long touchdown pass to Traquan Smith, end up breaking the record on that play. So it's just an exciting moment. I mean, for anybody who's watching that game, if you're vested at all into the New Orleans Saints, if you've spent any time as a young person growing up, whether you're 15 or 65, that had to be a moment where you have to appreciate and be in awe of what the Saints fell into. You have Drew Brees, who when he was in San Diego, blows his shoulder out. Now, this is a story that's been told over and over, and he was this close to being just another guy selling insurance somewhere. He'd probably been a great at whatever it is that he sold or worked at, because that's just how Drew Brees is. But he was this close to being a guy who could say, you know what, I played at Purdue and I spent some time in the NFL with the Chargers, but then I got injured and, you know, nothing really came out of it. So, it could have easily been that. But the guy goes out and he rehabs and he works. And then you all know the story. Miami fails him on a physical. New Orleans decides to take a chance. And here we are now with the all-time leading passer in NFL history. I mean, more than all the big names, the Peyton Mannings, the Brett Favres, they're number two and three on the list now. A guy who's still active, Tom Brady, is still in the running. And the only thing is, you know, Tom Brady's a few years older than Brees. And you know, I guess whether you want to try to say that Tom Brady may not have as many years left, I believe it just by watching him. But Tom Brady's never been a great athlete, so he kind of looks like he's stuck in the mud, and it looks like time's catching up with him. Whether that's really the case or not, I don't see how Drew Brees won't pile on enough yards on top of this record that it's going to be extremely hard for anyone to catch up with him. Anyone. Now, in a few minutes after I go over this, I have some audio of the records and Drew Brees talking after the game. You could see his eyes were, you know, very emotional. He had tears in his eyes. Also a clip from Sean Payton describing the play. And also, if you haven't heard Peyton Manning's congratulatory video that he made, it was funny. And I'm going to let you guys listen to that. But Drew Brees on the night, 26 for 29, 363 yards, averaging 12.5. He got sacked twice, but his passer rating, 153.2. Now, that's just an incredible night, because think, there's other ways this could have happened. The Saints could have come in, played poorly, backed into it. You know, Brees could have thrown two interceptions and late in the fourth quarter, losing by 10 or you know, 17, could have thrown a pretty pointless pass to break the record. But no, it couldn't have happened in a better way. It couldn't have happened in a way that you could walk away with your head up and be proud. And it just, the way it happened and the way it all went down, just pretty much the way you would have scripted it if you were in Hollywood. So I think that the way it went down, it just couldn't have been any better. Now, moving on, our favorite guy that we talk about all the time, Taysom Hill. 5 carries, 23 yards, 4.6. Now, something that is a little bit disappointing, but to me, the writing was on the wall. It was going to happen. Alvin Kamara all but got the day off. 6 carries, 24 yards. Still, you know, a respectable 4 yards a carry. Mark Ingram, got the bulk of the carries with 16 carries for 53 yards, averaged 3.3, but two touchdowns with a long of 9. Interesting. Now, on the negative side of the sheet, poor Teddy Bridgewater comes in for about 3 snaps, and he kneels the ball down and negative 3 yards. So that's not going to look good on his resume, but, you know, jokingly. Let's see. Also, some guys who got in on the action. Tre'Quan Smith has his breakout game. 3 receptions, 111 yards, 37 yards per reception, 2 touchdowns with a long of 62, which was the Drew Brees record-breaking reception. Now, to me, even more impressive than that particular play with Tre'Quan Smith was his first reception of the game early in the first quarter. It was maybe a, you know, a 10, 12-yard out route. And because it was on the near sidelines, really hard to see his feet. But, man, I didn't think it was a reception. He toe-tapped, and when they brought it back, I mean, it just shows, like, you have to be a next-level athlete to be able to do those kind of things, to be able to catch a ball like that. It just that's not something guys who are, let's say, fast but not necessarily great athletes, because there are guys like that. Their guys are super fast or they're quick, but they're not super coordinated. I mean, he's a guy that obviously has the entire package. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he continues to develop and how the Saints continue to incorporate him into the offense. Another guy, Cameron Meredith. He's one, you know, he came off the injury, worked in slowly. I don't think he was active for the first 2 games of the season. And little by little, he's starting to be the player that we thought he would be when the Saints signed him. He's a guy that's a difference maker, and maybe not exactly at this moment, but he will eventually, as he continues to get healthy and continues to become acclimated with the offense. To me, the Saints had a breakout game. Now, I'm hoping that this is a catalyst that now you'll start seeing that offense that's that drag them to the deep end of the pool and drown them kind of offense, and that's what I'm expecting. But until we see it a couple of more times, we're not quite sure. But the reason that the offense would be that is not just, you know, hey, we're starting to click a little bit better, is we're starting to get some of these players who we expected to take us to the next level are starting to become integrated into the offense. Mark Ingram coming back from a suspension. Cameron Meredith coming back and from an injury, and he's starting to look healthy. Now, all of a sudden, who's going to cover all these guys? And if you start adding in Tre'Quan Smith to the mix and he continues to develop as a rookie, you know, the sky's the limit for this offense. And you know, I haven't even gotten to the defense who played very well. Then of course, Michael Thomas, 4 receptions for 74 yards, and it was a quiet night for him, especially how he broke the NFL record for receptions in the first 2 games. And, you know, for a guy who's catching 10, 12, 15 balls a game, 4 catches almost seems I'm sure he was a little disappointed. But he averaged 18.5 yards a reception, and really nothing wrong with that. Now, as I'm reviewing the statistics and looking at the guys who've made a difference, guys who don't show up on the statistics, the offensive line. I got to mention these guys, Teron Armstead in particular. And it's so funny because I'm going to talk about Davenport, our first-round draft pick, and the way that in training camp, Armstead made him look like he just wasn't going to be a very good ball player for a while there. Teron Armstead does that to everyone, and when healthy, he's a complete difference maker in the Saints offense. So he won't show up on the statistics, but man, the guy is an absolute beast and a difference maker. So the entire offensive line there, matter of fact, on the fumble recovery right before halftime, when Meredith fumbled the ball, Ryan Ramczyk ran the defensive lineman who picked up the fumble, ran him out of bounds, and it showed a lot of athleticism to get there. And you know, depending on the situation, you never know, man. You stop that guy from scoring, maybe hold him to 3, maybe get a turnover. Huge play, although it turned out to be insignificant because the way the Saints rolled all over Washington, it could have been a significant play. So let's move on to the defensive side of the ball, and I mentioned Davenport. Davenport, a total 3 tackles, 2 solos, 1 tackle for loss, 2 quarterback hits, and a sack, forced fumble, and a turnover. I mean, listen, the stat sheet does not really tell you exactly what this guy does for the defense. And for a young guy who, quite frankly, I didn't expect to start seeing much from him. This is what I was expecting to see from him, like, after game 10. If he continues down this path, he could potentially get to double-digit sacks, which, you know, even though that would be great, the fact that he's so disruptive – The quarterback hits that he had caused a huge incompletion, which I wouldn't say is questionable whether it was a turnover, but it was just an instant away from being a turnover. We're not talking about the ball gets out and he hits him right out. It was a game-changing type play, and we're seeing three or four flash plays like this every single game. Anyway, let's listen to this Peyton Manning congratulatory video. It's pretty funny. I liked it.
Peyton, FYI, Drew Brees just broke your record.
Which one?
All-time passing yards.
Passing yards? Oh, okay. So I still have the touchdown record, right?
He's actually on pace to break that, too.
What? Great. Drew, for 1,000 days, I've held the record for all-time passing yards in the NFL. I gotta tell you, it's been the greatest 1,000 days of my life. And thanks to you, that's over now. And you've ruined that for me. So, thank you very much. I have nothing left to look forward to except slicing my tomatoes, making dinner for my family, putting together this wedge salad. Also, let this serve as the congratulations for the touchdown record, because as you can see, I'm very busy. I don't have time to keep doing these videos for you, congratulating you. But in all seriousness, Drew, congratulations on this record. You've done it the right way. All your hard work and dedication have paid off. You and I have come a long way since this picture back in 2000 when you were in college and I was in my third year in the NFL. So, way to go. Proud of you. Good luck the rest of the way.
There you go. Very classy response by Peyton Manning. He's the guy that Drew Brees broke his record to get to number one. Now Peyton Manning's number two. Anyway, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. We have tons more Saints talk on this week after a huge Saints victory. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer podcast.
Hey, this is Dave, man. As most of you guys know, I'm not a big gambler. It's not so much that I'm opposed to it. I'm just really bad at it. But, you know, I still like to put a little coin down just to make the games interesting. So I go to mybookie.com. That's the place I go to put my bets down. These guys, every time I bet, I get paid. Well, that's when I win. But anyway, look, that's why I urge you to go to mybookie.com. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding perks in the business, and it's all for you. Hey, for instance, like me, I love fantasy, man. You go, you can make bets on individual players and whether how many points they'll score that week. Hey, if you're like me and you just want to put a little something on the game just to keep your interest in it, go to mybookie.com. That's where I go.
Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Have a disease, Dave?
No.
Have we been inoculated for this disease?
You missed it. The Saints win 43-19. Y'all being very distracting, by the way. 43-19 on Drew Brees night. He goes in there. He puts on a clinic. And apparently everybody in New Orleans appreciate it. They crying about it. Except for the guys on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
Maurice Jones-Drew and that other Jones. Yeah. The simpletons that
James
don't
Jones. Yeah.
James Jones.
James Jones.
Simpleton, James average players criticizing.
Yeah.
Possibly, I want to be fair. I don't want to exaggerate. But arguably the best quarterback that's ever played the game, who now has not only the completion record, he's one touchdown away from
join
the 500 club, which we, unless something terribly misguided happens, he's going to break that record too.
He's got the yardage record and the completion record, and then he's going to go into the 500 club.
He holds, there's been five times.
And he
times,
holds the all-time completion percentage
right.
record.
There's
and
been
completions.
Five times, correct me if I'm wrong, that a quarterback has surpassed 5,000 yards, and he has three of them.
Yeah. Most 400-yard games ever, most 300-yard games ever.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, and these guys have
he's
the
average.
Audacity
yeah, he's average.
To call him average.
Yeah.
And it's just mind-numbingly.
That's because neither one of them are a pimple on his butt.
Right.
There
okay, that's the bottom line.
And you know what? It's like I hate – look, we got a forum to express our opinion. I just hate when guys who just like either obviously biased or just flat-out ignorant.
Yeah.
Unless – the only thing I can literally think about is that – the producers on the show are like, look, which one of y'all is going to say that Drew's not that good so that
no,
we can
I don't
spend
think so,
30 minutes?
He was on, listen. He was on again the next day. All right? That was game night.
Right.
The next day he's on with Neon Deion, and they get asked a question. What's better, the old guard or the new guard? And so he comes out and goes, oh, man, it's got to be the new guard. You know, Goff, Wentz, you know, Mahomes, you know, all these people. Oh, yeah, they're much better than the old guard. And then Deion comes on and goes, what the hell is your problem? He goes,
Deion defender?
Yeah, yeah. He goes, man, you got to go with the people that are going to be there. You know, you got to go with the old guard. And at the end, Deion says, I'll tell you this. I put this money up right now. People in the Super Bowl ain't going to be none of your new guys going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Man.
You know?
So, well, and this isn't the first time that Jones-Drew has had less than flattering things to say about Breeze and
the Saints. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, so, you know, and guys, petty
he seems to have a bone to pick for whatever
petty reason. Petty little guys like that, I don't know the history, I don't know why, but I've seen those things as well. And I think they use their forum to just make ignorant comment. Like, the point is if I don't like who's, you know, the Rams. You know, if I'm a national radio guy and I don't like the Rams, I'm not going to sit there and make myself look stupid by saying that their offense really ain't that explosive and their defense, you know, I mean, look, they just ready to fall apart. If nothing, there's no indications that what I'm saying has any validity, why would I make a fool out of myself by saying those things? At some point, say, look, I'm not a fan, but those guys are impressive. You know, they have explosive offense. They're doing this. They're doing that. And just, I don't know, he just makes himself look like a moron by saying things that just absolutely have no validity.
Well, I guess now, Dave, you're going to make me have to go easier on him, because if I was on a national broadcast and asked me something about the Atlanta Falcons,
oh, right.
I think I would just have to – I mean, I'm just putting you in this place. If they ask you something about the Carolina Scampthers, what are you going to say?
Well,
I don't like the guy, but, you know, Cam Newton, he's really a really great quarterback.
Well, I feel what you're saying.
He's the kind of quarterback that we should all want to have on our teams because, you know, he's got that touch. You know, he's
a quarterback's coach. So, really, you know what he is? He's a donkey wrangler.
That's what I would say. I'm just saying that's what I would say.
If he's going to criticize, then just be up front and say, you know what? I don't like the Saints very much. And because of that, I don't care much for Drew Brees. I think he's just average. You know, if you come out and tell her, and I would say, well, okay, the guy's an idiot, but, you know, at least he was truthful about it.
Right.
You know, but he doesn't do that. And it comes back out.
I can't stand the Patriots. I don't even particularly like Tom Brady personally. But right. You're never going to hear me try to tell anybody that he's not that good of a quarterback.
No.
It just don't work. It just don't work.
Look, Tom Brady's a perfect example. I don't like Tom Brady because he's a crybaby on the field. But you can't take it away from him. When that team has to score, he puts the team on his back, and they go in to score. Whether it's the system with Belichick or not makes no difference to me. He finds a way to win the game.
Yeah.
Now, off the field, I don't know if you heard what he said in the interview about, you know, with Brees, what he thought about Brees. Man, classy guy, you know. So I don't say anything. I'm talking about on the field,
right?
Okay, if that's your gig, and that's what Brady's gig is. Okay, Maurice Jones-Drew, what's his gig? You know,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, making a fool out of himself. I mean, he's a very opinionated guy.
Yeah,
I've had the misfortune of.
I don't know anybody's opinion.
Like I said, he was a decent running back when he played. He had some good years and stuff. Okay, but the bottom line is, like I said, if Drew is the real Drew, if Drew Brees is average, then Maurice Jones-Drew
is flat out garbage.
Like he never even played. Let's ask Maurice Jones-Drew.
Would you have won playoff games in the Super Bowl if your quarterback during your time in Jacksonville would have been Drew Brees?
I bet he'd have a different outlook. Mm-hmm. Hey, so is it time yet for our weekly Taysom Hill update?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. The real deal
absolutely.
Hill.
Yeah.
All right. So the guy gets in there. The Saints keep playing with his package, adjusting his package to get him more opportunities.
In the right position.
Yeah, to get his package in
the right position.
Yeah. So I think that this week.
Order here.
Order.
Yeah, where's that
part? Yeah, yeah, we'll have this on the other one. So yeah. Anyway. So.
Too much talk about packages. Come on, man.
So now you got me all discombobulated.
Yeah.
All
right. We got the Taysom Hill segment's got to be sponsored by UPS.
There you go.
We're going to have to talk to those boys.
There you go.
In the big brown truck.
Either that or FedEx, one or the other.
Yeah. So he gets in the game. He has a play. The thing about it is, at some point, they're going to have to talk to him. And I like seeing them running the ball. I like seeing him make plays. But he had one play last night where if he hands the ball off to Kamara, yeah, I think he pointed that out.
Yeah.
Unless he's really, really slow, he'd still be running.
Yeah.
But Kamara would have scored on that play with like a break-off 60-yard touchdown.
Yeah. Well, coach has already talked to him about it.
But we would have – hang on, I want to hear that. But we would have missed out on the opportunity to watch him truck a 265-pound defensive lineman.
Yeah.
In his defense, the lineman was kind of in an awkward position.
Oh, come on now. Yeah.
But Taysom and then runs him over, gets the first down. I mean, listen, for a guy who only gets like 3 or 4 touches a game, I mean, he's the most exciting player. Yeah. I mean, just most talk about.
Cult classic.
So
already.
What were you saying, Tomas? That
when he went to the sideline, Peyton jumped on him about it. And one of the things I found interesting was after the game, when they were interviewing Drew Brees, and he was talking about how, Taysom came into the game, and it was like, he says, and you know, I'm just going to let you know, I'm thinking that at some point, I might actually catch a pass. When Drew said that, I was like, you know damn well that's already in the package. Yeah. You're talking about the package.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you.
Oh, the hell. Yeah.
I guarantee you that's already in there. Because eventually, because, you know, people saying, oh, that's just Drew. Screw it. We don't have to wear. He's going to carry the ball. At some point, he's going to start handing it off. Yeah. And at some point, he's going to pull it in, pull it out, like anybody with a good package would do. There you go.
Keep all the help.
There you go. And then he's going to just lob a little right there. Drew Brees is going to catch it, and Drew Brees will now have a scoring touchdown as well.
Yeah.
A reception for a touchdown. Now, by the way, you might recall, talking about Tom Brady, in one of the games where they got beat, his babe, Giselle, said, well, what do you expect of Tommy? He can't throw the ball and catch it too.
Drew Brees said,
hold my beer.
Yeah, you're right. And that's like what did they say? The sixth time he's completed a pass to himself or something?
When they said that last night, I was like, wait, I don't remember him doing that before.
Well,
really?
Yeah. I mean, is there a chance if we go into the annals of the record book archives? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And find out Drew Brees' package.
Now we get. Yeah,
consists of being the NFL leader in receiving his own passes. I wonder.
Yep. We need a statistician for that.
If only we had a guy. He's on it. He's on it. He gave us a thumbs up. He's on it. But that'll be interesting.
I am currently not on Drew Brees' package.
Okay.
All right. But I will look it up for you guys. So you are the man,
Tyler. Yeah. You are the man. That's why we keep you around, brother. So more guys playing well. What about my guy, Peanut Butter Jelly? He goes in there. He comes in. Well, he's already playing like the slot because of injuries.
To P-Rob.
P-Rob's gone, right.
And he's playing pretty well.
He
plays pretty well.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he gets banged up. And then we're like, geez, and crackers,
man. Before he got banged up, though, he put a hit on your poor boy.
Well, you know what? I sent him BFF. A tweet and let him know that Adrian Peterson owed me a poor boy.
Yeah.
And now
he might not be able to pay up now, though.
We got a call about that, too.
We do? Oh, that's right. Matter of fact, y'all ready? Let's take a hotline.
Let's take a hotline.
All you got to do is call 701-901-1295.
Or if you prefer to email.
Yep. Oh, look at this guy.
Come on, man.
Look at this guy. Yeah, you can email us bsandbeer at icloud.com.
That's right.
Let's get this hotline call.
All right.
Okay. This is Nick from New Jersey. I'm all fired up from the game last night. I enjoyed P.J. Williams knocking the po' boy out of Peterson.
I think on the second
play of the game, I'm all fired up about Ingram coming back. I got him on all of my fantasy teams, and he saved me in two different leagues.
Me too, brother.
And our quarterback has the most frequent flyer miles of any quarterback in the history of the league. I couldn't be more fired up about it. And I love that podcast.
That's my man right there. Throwing it down. Thank you so much for the call. Right off the bat, PJ comes in, lays a big old lick on
poor boy.
Just got to let him know first.
Okay.
Where he at? Adrian Peterson didn't know where he was at when he got off the ground, off limping. I hate to see anybody get injured, so I don't want to pick him. But I did put a tweet out that said, he still owes me a po' boy.
Yeah.
You know, at first, I thought it was something we'd catch up
later.
Might
not be able to afford it now.
Yeah. No. I mean, he might be looking for work because he didn't see the whole second half. I heard shoulder injury.
Shoulder injury.
Yeah. So at first, I kind of, you know, was one of them buddies. Like, I keep waiting for the invitation over to the lake house or whatever. And,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But so now I'm starting to believe that he may not be planning on paying me back. I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know.
Could be. Yeah.
So anyway, but he plays pretty well. But going back to your guy, Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, really well.
Special teams player caught a pass for a first down on a fake punt, from the real hill, and now all of a sudden he played a pretty good game. Almost scored a touchdown
on an interception.
I mean, that's pretty good stuff. Because when Marshawn Lattimore went out of the game, I literally kind of put my hands.
I was like,
oh man, this is
going to be bad.
This is going to be bad. But it is funny. It kind of shows you stuff. We sit there and we pick on like a guy like Ken Crawley. But it's the weakest link that gets picked on.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, you even said it earlier, we didn't even hear Ken Crawley's name. Didn't mean he became a better cornerback. They're like, nah, we got easier targets over here. And it always reminds me of that clip from the from Waterboy, where they doing the onside kick, and the kicker's looking down the line of all the guys.
Yeah, and you look at the guy.
And the one guy's sitting there with his eyes wide open, scared to death. And like, yep, that's where we're going right there. So,
I would disagree with you a little bit. I would say to you, I believe, with the camaraderie on his team, that when Lattimore went out, I think the DBs got together and say, hey, boys, we got to step it up. We're losing our guy here. We got to step it up. So, yeah, probably they didn't go so much at Crawley thinking, hey, we're going to pick on somebody else. But at the same time, I think that Crawley stepped it up. And I think PJ stepped it up. Because he did come back in the game. And when he came back in the game, he was still playing really good.
Yeah. No, PJ actually had several plays that were good defensive plays. He had one where he cut the guy off.
Yeah. He had one where he got beat on a pass, and it was kind of the old PJ. He never turned around and looked. Yeah. He was basically chasing.
Oh, it was a tight end caught that ball off the ground.
But he was back in the slot, and he was chasing behind the guy. And I said, well, this guy still hadn't learned how to turn around. He never did. Anyway,
but on another play,
look, that was, you know, that's one play. Overall, they really did step up.
But on another
play, well,
he learned how to use the out of bounds to his benefit, where he forced the guy closer and closer to the out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah.
When he tried to catch the ball, he couldn't catch it because he was already out of bounds. So,
I still think he's better on the outside anyway.
Yeah. But
one of the things that I think is lost, and I may have actually, as I say this, I feel like I'm just repeating something I may have said last week, is, man, the way they conduct training camp nowadays, there's a 3 or 4 week period into the season where guys are still trying to find their way. And I'm wondering right now, are the Saints, are they now finding their groove, or was it just, I don't want to say coincidence, but just, you know, everything fell into place in 1 week? Or is this what we should expect for the rest of the season?
Well, I think there were some adjustments made on defense. Yeah. I think that Dennis Allen, the first couple of weeks, was hell-bent on playing his defense. But I think that he realized, or maybe coach came up to him and said, dude, can't keep doing this. And because if you watched at the very beginning of the Washington game, both corners were up on their receivers. It wasn't the man-on-man, but giving them a 5-6 yard cushion. No. They were on top of them.
Yeah.
So I think that's different. Plus, how many times was Cam Jordan standing up?
Yeah. Hey, we'll talk about that later. But next, coming up, a Tomas rant. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. But I did it anyway.
And maybe. BS and Beer Podcast, where we realize that taking candy from a baby is the responsible thing to do.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Look, we got a special treat for you, like we have every week. It's a Tomas rant, but I got to let this bumper music play. So y'all tell me a joke or something. Let's see. Read some statistics, maybe. I don't know. There's all kind of good stuff. I mean, it was kind of difficult to put this game. It was more about Drew Brees and all of his success. And it was a blowout win, so there's really not a lot. But I'm sure Tomas.
Well, I can tell you something that was not part of the Rand. Okay. If you want me to fill some time.
No, no, no. I'm just trying to get past that bumper.
Okay, well, you passed.
You know, I mean, you know, we're pulling the curtain back a little bit for the folks out there listening, so they can understand what's going on. But you know, now.
Oh, you know what time it is. It's gonna blow.
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's gonna blow.
I have opinions.
I got a nuke coming in. It's gonna blow in less than a minute.
That's gonna mean anything to me. My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's gonna blow up. It's gonna blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
It is a mathematical certainty.
I like it.
Because I don't try. I do.
All right. So you're ready for the rant. You know, it's hard to come up with a rant when Drew Brees does such an outstanding job. When the offense seems to suddenly really come to life. I don't know. How many different people did he hit? 11, 12, 13 people? I mean, he was throwing a ball all over the place. People were catching a ball all over the place. You know, how great was this? Would this be for Traquan? You know, he can look back and say, you know, the first pass I caught from Drew Brees, I went for 62 yards and a touchdown. First pass. Put him in a record book. Second pass I caught, I went for another touchdown. I mean, this guy's great. So, I had to really think about the rant. And I'm going to tell you, the rant came to me exactly when Drew Brees broke the record. Let me tell you about the rant. Now, let me make sure that I'm relaxed before I begin. We have had a group of people who wear some really bad clothing. Now, I'm not talking about Cam Newton. I'm talking about... the referees. You know those people with the striped shirts who think they call themselves zebras? I think zebras have more common sense. But let me ask you this question. I don't care what team you're for. If your team has a quarterback that suddenly breaks a tremendous record and your teammates celebrate with passion that you have broken this record, all your teammates gather with you in the field. You're excited, you're exuberant, you jump up and down. You know, it's a fantastic moment. Would you expect the referees to get involved? I'm just asking you. Would you expect these morons to get involved? Well, you should if you're talking about the National Football League. Well, excuse me, the No Fun League. Because believe it or not, the New Orleans Saints were penalized. They were penalized for taunting. Now, I don't know. I've been taunted during my lifetime because I used to speak with an accent. Of course, some people think I still do.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was taunted. I was taunted for being, believe it or not, I used to be a little scrawny kid. I was a little wiry little kid. You know, nobody would have thought I would have been 6'1". But, you know, my mom's all a 4'11", 5 feet tall on a good day. So I understand taunting. Was that taunting? Did that make the Washington Redskins feel belittled? Baby, oh, my feelings are hurt. I need a safe space. Oh, it's such a terrible thing. They're making fun of us because they scored a touchdown. What the hell? I thought this was a man's game. Apparently not. Apparently they needed to have their little pacifier dipped in a little sugar. You know? Apparently, yeah, they don't drink coffee because that's a man's drink. You know, apparently they drink tea. And I'm not talking about iced tea. You know, I like Louisiana iced tea. That's good tea. You know what I'm saying? Got a little to it. You know what I'm saying? Especially pour a little bit of that white liquid in it. But in any case, clear liquid, not white. Clear liquid.
White.
Clear. Not white. Clear. All right. In any case, my point is this. Was that really taunting? I don't believe so. So now I'm going to make a real good plead to my New Orleans Saints. Brothers, from this point on in the season, every time Drew Brees sets another significant mark, I want you all to get in the middle of the field, jump up and down, let him throw the penalty for a taunt. It's okay. Because we like to taunt, don't we? Especially when we're winning. Yeah. Might as well bring this in too. The next time Maurice Jones-Drew does a game with the Saints, let's taunt him, shall we? I can give you a few examples of taunting because, again, you know, I'm pretty, you know, For an old guy like myself, you know, I'm taking pretty good care. Wouldn't you say that I'm doing pretty good?
I wouldn't say none of that.
You wouldn't?
I mean, I'm not saying you're not. I'm just no comment.
I'm not buying you no damn poor boys. But in any case, I'm just saying to you, once upon a time, I was fat. No, I was a fat guy. So I know about taunting when you're fat. You know, bowling ball. You know what I'm talking about? You know, healthy. No, he looks really healthy.
Yeah.
You know, because he has to wear those husky pants because he's healthy. So let's taunt a little bit here. I'm going to ask, hey, Maurice Jones-Drew, do you wear husky pants? Maybe we should do that. In any case, I'm being very serious now. That was a ridiculous call. Now, I think, along with the apology that we're still waiting from the commissioner for all the bull crap that they put up about Bountygate, here's another instance where he should be apologizing. He should be saying, you know, fellas, I'm sorry, but these morons that were referees in this game should have never called it taunting, because it is a moment for the NFL. It's not a moment just for the Saints. It's not a moment just for Drew Brees. It's a moment for the NFL. If you want a real ambassador for this league, if you don't want to keep losing people from watching the games, then put somebody out there with dignity, with class, a man who has a real work ethic, a man who's all of maybe 5'11", and he can still throw the ball down the field. He can still see over the defensive lineman. Hell, he can see over his own offensive lineman. You know, I mean,
yeah,
these guys are big. So, my rant is this. If you want to call a taunt, call one. A legitimate one. That, my friends, was the way to celebrate a tremendous moment in football history. There you go.
There you go. Way to use it up, baby, because I don't even have time for to tell you about your opinions expressed aren't necessarily. Anyway. Hey, that's it. We can come back. We have another hotline call.
All right.
97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. More Saints news. And then we're going to have our pick'ems. Got them pick'ems. You ready?
Yes, sir.
I'm not.
Well, it's your old buddy, Chef Pierre Gautreaux. Y'all gather around the radio, and we're going to listen to some BS and Beer podcast. Ooh, ça c'est bon. That's a good show, yeah.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We have another hotline call, but before we get that, Tyler.
What's up?
You have some information you were going to share with us?
Yeah, just some stats you guys have done. You asked about, by the way, your favorite Maurice Jones-Drew. You quoted that he's probably not a top 10 running back of all time. He is currently 47th on the all-time list.
There you go.
a list that includes Steve McNair, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
So he's pretty close to him. You also brought up Breeze-to-Breeze passing 6 times in his career. He's caught 8 passes, but he's passed them to himself 6 times. The penalty that Tomas just ranted about was actually thrown for taunting in the end zone on Michael Thomas.
Yeah. So that's what they said, but that's not what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you asked about perfect passer ratings. There have been 70.
70?
In the history of the NFL.
7-0?
7-0.
Wow.
The last one was this season, Jared Goff on the against the Minnesota Vikings. The one before that, though, was 3 years ago, November 15, 2015, by Kirk Cousins of the Washington Redskins playing the New Orleans Saints.
Huh.
So yeah, I remember
that game.
Breeze has done it once, and one other New Orleans Saints quarterback, and I was curious if you guys can name who that was. One other New Orleans Saints quarterback has done it.
Really?
1993 versus the Steelers.
When?
What year?
1993.
Oh, well, then that had to be.
Versus the Steelers.
That had to be. Man, I don't know. I don't want to throw something out there that sounds stupid. I'm thinking Aaron Brooks. Could it possibly have been?
I don't think it's Aaron Brooks.
Huh. I think it was on Halloween. I remember a game where we killed No, but I remember that to be
October 17th.
Yeah, it was a holiday. I don't know.
And it was actually only
Billy Joe.
It couldn't have been a Billy Joe. It could not have been a Billy Joe.
Wait, is he answering?
Not a Billy Joe. It is Mike Buck.
Mike Buck.
Oh, yeah.
Mike
what?
Buck.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he didn't actually play the whole game. He just had like five passes.
You have to throw 10. His stats were, he was 10 for 11, 164 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
Lost the game.
I don't remember.
You would have taken my house.
Yeah.
Mike Buck.
The question I have is, we asked about, is there a way you can find out if all-time passing to yourself? I'd love to know if there's...
All right, I'll look that one up, too.
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing that. So I'll tell you what. Let's get to the hotline call while Tyler looks that up, because that's really what I wanted to know is, like, if he leads the league and passes to yourself. Because, I mean, think how rarely that happens.
Yeah.
So if you have six of them, I'd have to imagine...
I also want to point out, I don't know if y'all realize, watch how quick Breeze moved to get to that ball. I mean, I think that's the fastest I've ever seen him move.
He's athletic.
I mean,
he's
accelerated athletic. Quick and got to that,
his
back
short,
to that ball.
His short area quickness is outstanding. It's just his top speed is just not.
That's the whole thing.
And there's truth to that. There are guys.
Well,
like,
he gets to his top speed real quick. His top speed is 5.5.
There are guys that run fast 40s, but their split's not very good. Long leg guys.
His 30-inch split is amazing.
Amazing. He's got the total package.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this. All right, now that's mine now. Don't be stealing my stuff.
Hey, you guys, it's Craig, the California Cajun. I just wanted to let everyone know, you know, I know that was a little bit tough to watch, but, you know, we got to keep the faith. You know, we can bounce back from this performance. You know,
high expectations.
And the defense can play a little bit better. I know 19 points is a lot to give up.
Yeah.
Especially at home against the Redskins. You know that Drew Brees, he's clearly over the hill. You know, we're gonna have to think about the contingency plan. I'm glad we got a couple snaps in there, Teddy Bridgewater. You know, we scored a couple of points tonight, but you know, probably not enough. You know, but I just want everyone to relax. You know, we can get better from this. You know, we're only 4-1. We can come back. You know, we got a bye week to get healthy. And I think everything's going to be all right. We just got to keep the faith and we got to keep it strong, all right? Everybody hang in there. Who that?
All right.
I sense a little facetiousness.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
He actually, I saw that on Twitter and I was confused. I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
I knew he was being funny.
What's going on.
I'm like, what is going on here? Where are you going with this? So, I mean, obviously. Yeah,
everybody back away from the ledge.
Yeah, that's what they put on.
Yeah.
Listen, the Saints, and that's the question I had for you guys at the end of one of the earlier segments. I mean, is this where the Saints are now? Are we turning the corner? Is this a team that's putting it together and getting hot?
I
mean, because this is where the schedule gets a little bit tougher.
I think the Saints are definitely getting better. The defense has gotten better. But you know what they say, you're never as good as the best game looks, and you're never as bad as you look in the work. You know, so they're somewhere in between. I don't expect this going forward in every game from the Saints, but I think they're definitely getting better, yeah.
Tomas?
I think they're improving, but I don't think they've gotten to what we expect them to what they expect themselves to be. Let me fix that, because we finally are seeing the emergence of Traquan and Meredith, and I think Drew is just starting to get his chemistry together with them. I'm still waiting for Carr to come around as well, and Kamara didn't play worth anything, right? So what happens if now you give him a rest this game? The bye week, he comes back. What's the offense going to look like when you have both Kamara and Ingram playing at full level? You have Traquan now playing one side, Meredith in the slot. You have Michael Thomas. I mean, this offense, an offensive line that's going to give you holes and going to give you protection. The only thing we're missing on offense is tight end. And what if?
What if?
I don't know if you noticed this, but there was a guy playing in the game.
Yeah.
At tight end.
We noticed.
Yes, we did notice. We did notice.
He didn't catch anything, but he was very active in there. Arnold.
He didn't catch anything or do anything, but he was very active running around the field.
Well, he was blocking. Yeah. He did some blocking.
I'm giving you a hard time.
Okay, and he was running some patterns that took up a linebacker out of the position. You know, so he didn't catch any passes yet. Okay. But I'm just saying to you, as we keep moving forward, defense, again, we've seen Davenport stepping up a little bit more. The interior linemen seem to be coming up. Man, I was very impressed with Rankin's game. Can he keep this up for the next 14 games? I don't know. I did say 14.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I didn't catch that. Nice.
Yeah. I was waiting for you. All right. So I'm thinking that we're getting better, but this is not the final package, my friend.
I tell you what. The defensive line makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
On that defense.
Absolutely.
Because I don't care how good you are as a defensive back, if you can't read a receiver knowing that, okay, once he makes this break, chances are the quarterback has to get rid of the ball, then you can anticipate things. If the quarterback has all day to throw the ball, there is no defensive back. I'm not saying there might be a few exceptions, but you cannot play cornerback if you can't anticipate routes and jump things.
Exactly.
That defensive line, with the way that Davenport's playing, you just mentioned Rankins, and he's another guy that I didn't get a chance to say. I mean, he's starting to come on. If this defensive line starts playing like that,
Cam's Cam.
Yeah,
if Cam gets a sack every game, that's 16 freaking sacks.
He's on pace for that.
Yeah, that's right.
So, matter of fact, Cam's Cam. And it's funny, he's like Drew Brees. It's like Drew Brees would pretty much almost every game be the good or the MVP, but at some point you just kind of overlook him because you're like, well, let's get to that guy who we didn't expect to do something. Cam is a guy that I have tremendous respect for, but he's so good and so consistent that you kind of like,
he's just developed so much. You know, he's not just a one kind of move guy. And so now you see him being chipped almost all the time, you know, or they put two over to him. But I'm telling you, as your boy continues to grow on the other side, they're not going to be able to keep on doing that.
Mm-mm.
You know? And I was so impressed with that stunt play. That stunt play really impressed the crap out of me. You know, because if he has the patience to wait for the tackle to come across the inside, he's going to get a lot of damn sacks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's just so athletic, and he's starting to show some strength because people are talking about, like, oh, he's tall and he's lanky. But, man, I mean, he's not.
He's a big dude, and he's strong.
Look, first of all, I think that right off the bat, he's raw was greatly exaggerated. He came from a small school. He probably has a lot to still learn. He probably had a lot to learn. And if you really think about it, the kid missed, was it almost 2 weeks of training camp?
Yes.
2 weeks of training camp. Issue, with the thumb issue.
Yeah.
And so the point is, the guy is not like, he is obviously more developed than we gave him credit for, what we thought, these national draft
the
guys.
The same idiots
thought
that are calling Mel Kiper, Drew Brees average.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, and that guy needs development.
Yeah.
And again, I do believe he still needs development, and he will continue to develop. And imagine what happens when he actually becomes more proficient at all the little things that make you a better ball player, because right now it seems like he's just kind of going out there and using his athleticism, and he's still beating guys. Because who plays left tackle? Is it Williams? Is it Trent Williams that plays left tackle?
Yeah, is it the big guy on their offensive line?
He's a good player. It's not like, you know, and now I almost feel like I want to switch to the other side. And, another guy you don't talk about, the difference between having a healthy Teron Armstead that offensive line has been incredible, because you don't see guys doing that to us.
No.
And Trent Williams is supposed to be a top-level offensive tackle, and we got a rookie who's raw and needs development.
Well, like you said,
abusing
it's exaggerated. Plus, let me give you this other part. Maybe he's a really good student. And so now he's got a real teacher teaching him how to play that position.
You keep going back to that, and I agree with you.
I'm just telling you. Look, same thing. Onyemata, Rankins, all of these kids are getting better and better. I'm being a former educator myself, I mean, I'm just telling you. You got a good teacher, you got a good student, good things are going to happen.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to have our mybookie.com.
Mybookie.com.
Picks of the week.
There you go.
Get your pens out, get it ready, because the picks are coming up. Don't go anywhere. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. You got something to say?
Go ahead.
You got like 3 seconds.
Go ahead.
He wakes up in the morning.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for more BS and Beer podcast.
Out, BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. It's time for the MyBookie Weekly Picks.
Yes, sir.
Tomas, if you would, give us a rundown real quick. The top 10.
Rod, 22278.
Same guy.
Number one, Javelin. Lord Boudreaux.
Boudreaux.
Little Dies. Bill Gluckman. St. Benny. Clinton Rebel. Who that, Fisherman?
Oh, yeah.
Who that, 2018. And B-Train. Those are the top 10.
Yeah, you know what? Where you at, Heath?
I'm just outside of that. I think I'm at 43rd.
Yeah, you were doing so well for a while.
How about you? Where are you at, brother?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to that. I'm here for the people. I'm here for the people.
All right.
I'm not trying to take things. No,
scroll right up there to the top of your picks list, and it tell you.
Oh,
right,
really?
At the very top. Right.
It's not bad. I'm 19th. What are you actually?
43rd.
You're doing good. You're 19th.
I'm serious. Yeah.
Are you serious? Or are you lying?
I got screwed out of one pick. The Thursday night game.
Yeah.
I know I made the pick, and I picked the Patriots, and it said I didn't make the pick. So everybody out there, I'm gonna be adding 1 point on to my total, just the one, because everybody knows. And that I did it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's see. Tyler, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. All right, so we're going to start off. Eagles at the Giants. I guess that's the Thursday night game. Giants are +3 at home. Heath?
I'm going to take the Giants at home and the 3 points in this game. They went into Carolina, and it took a 63-yard field goal to beat them.
Can you believe that? 63-yard?
Yep. I think they're going to get back to New Jersey in a big divisional game against Philly, and I think they can at least stay within the three.
I like that. Tomas?
Taking the Eagles.
Tyler?
Eagles.
I'm going to go.
I impress no one.
No, you're making me think about changing it, but I'm going with the Eagles. I mean, you sounded so confident.
Yeah,
I am
confident.
Steelers at the Bengals. Bengals -1. Heath?
So I have tried to give zero credit to the Bengals all season.
Yeah,
long.
How's that working out for you?
Literally, it's not worked out well at all, as you can tell by my 43rd place ranking. So I'm going to put the kibosh on the Bengals this week and actually take them at home.
Oh, okay. Wait, then I'm going to have to change my pick.
The poor bastards.
Right, Tyler?
I'm taking Bengals. Go ahead.
Tyler?
Steelers.
Steelers? I'm going Bengals. So Tyler's the only one, huh?
No, you got... Oh, yeah. Tyler's only going to take Steelers.
All right. So Chargers at the Browns. It's a pick 'em game. Heath?
I'm going to take the Brownies at home.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. They haven't won three games in I don't know how long in the season. I'm taking the Browns.
Yep. Tyler?
Even though this spread is predicting another tie for the Browns with the even spread, I'm going with the Chargers.
All right, I'm going with the Browns. I just like the Browns. They've sucked so bad so long. Yeah. It's time to give them a little love.
Yeah, real quarterback.
All right, so Seahawks at the Raiders. The Raiders are 2.5 points. They're getting 2.5 points at home.
At home.
Huh.
I'm going to take the Seagulls on the road.
My dad let me down last week because I took these damn Raiders. But I'm not getting off the train. I'll go with the Raiders one more time.
All right. Tyler?
I'm Seahawks.
Seahawks. Okay. I'm going with the Seahawks as well. Bears at the Dolphins. The Dolphins +3 at home.
I'm going to take the fish and the three at home.
Huh.
Me too. Fish and three.
Wow. Tyler?
The Bears are on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bears, man. I'm going to take the Bears. Let's see. Cardinals at the Vikings. 12 points the Vikings are giving up.
Drop my phone. Hold on. Vikings. You know what? I absolutely love to give huge amounts of points in these games. So I'm going to take the Vikings at home and lay the 12 again.
I can't do it. When I see double digits, I'm like, dude, I just can't. I can't walk away from it. So I'm going to take the Cardinals and Josh Rosen with the 12 points. And I think we'll still lose, but I think we'll cover.
I think that line's going to move to closer to 10, and I'm going to take the Vikings.
I'm going to take the Cardinals. I'm going to take a chance on that big point spread. I mean, the Cardinals are, I don't know, it's pretty terrible, but I'm going to do it. It seems like the Vikings are kind of not really.
They don't have that mojo.
Yeah, they don't have
the
mojo.
The Cardinals finally did get off the schneid, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, and it's 12 points. So, Colts at the Jets. Jets giving up 2.5. Heath?
I'm going to take the J-E-T-S, Jets. All right. Yeah,
me too. I mean, I just can't go with the Colts. I mean, Luck keeps throwing 70 passes a game. At some point, that arm's going to fall off.
Yeah. Tyler?
I'm going to be the other guy this time again and be the Colts.
I'm going with the Jets. All right. So then you got the Panthers at the Redskins. Even game. That tells you a little something, boy. Even game.
Yeah. At Washington. Yeah. I'm going to take the Scampthers as much as it kills me.
Okay. Yep, you too, huh?
As much as it kills me. I don't even want to say that I took them.
All right. Tyler?
The not Redskins.
The not Redskins.
I'm taking the Panthers, not the Redskins.
Okay, gotcha. I'm going to go with the Redskins in this game. Yeah. I mean –
You can't help yourself.
Yeah, I can't help it. All right, Bills at the Texans. Texans giving up 10 points. Heath?
You know, I absolutely love to lay big points in these games. But this time, uh-oh, I'm going to circle the wagons,
uh-oh,
and
no,
I'm going to take the Bills and the 10 points.
Nobody circles the wagons.
I am.
As much as I hate this double digits, I'm actually going to take the Texans and get off the cut.
Man, of course.
I'm the same. Texans at home.
I'm going with the Bills. I'm going to circle those wagons. Yeah. I'm jumping on with Heath there. Going with the Bills. All right. Rams at the Broncos. The Broncos getting 7 at home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not enough. I'm going to take the Rams on the road and give up the 7.
Yep. Me too. They stay undefeated.
Same.
Yikes. I'm going to Broncos, man. I'm switching it up. I'm going to get all those points.
Rocky Mountain High.
Yeah, maybe high is the right way to put it. All right, the Jaguars just don't seem like the same team that got to the playoffs last year. Jaguars at the Cowboys. Cowboys plus 2.5.
Yeah, wow. I think this might have been the hardest game for me to pick here. But in the end, I have not been on their bandwagon this year, but I'm going to go ahead and jump on the Jaguars bandwagon on the road against the hapless Cowgirls.
Okay.
So this guy, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, yeah.
he played for these Jaguars, and I actually like the Jaguars, but they actually just signed a running back.
Yeah.
Because they don't have running backs.
Right.
So therefore, as much as it pains me, I'm going to take them Cowgirls.
Mm.
Jaguars.
How about them Cowboys?
Jaguars. Can't take the Cowboys. Jaguars.
Yeah.
All right. So then we have the Ravens at the Titans. The Titans are plus 2.5.
At home.
Yeah. At home.
At home. I'm going to take the Titans and the 2.5 points at home in a 6-3 ball game.
6-3. Okay.
I'm going to take the Ravens and – I'm going to take the Ravens because I think that they're going to win the game.
They're
going
to get the 6 instead of the...
That's it.
Yeah,
this is the upset of the week, I think, the Titans.
Huh. Well, not...
But I'm with Heath. It's going to be like 9-6.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take the Titans as well. Like, the Ravens are the Saints' next opponent. So
the Washington Redskins of the AFC.
Is that right?
That's what they say.
I'm going to watch them closely. The Saints have never beaten the Ravens.
Right. Until this year.
So I'm going to have to do some advanced scouting, and I'm going to pick the Titans so it makes it easier for me to pull against them. So there you go. So, okay, Chiefs, I mean, they're just tearing it up. Big comeback win.
Yeah.
So against the Patriots, 3.5. The Patriots are giving up.
I'm going to actually take the Chiefs and the 3.5 on the road. Mm.
I don't think it's a question here because, you know, the Patriots just have an average quarterback. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Okay.
I hate to say it, but I'm going with the Patriots.
I'm going, but
they're at home.
Yeah? All right. Well, I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well.
The Lions went in there and got it done. I think the Chiefs are a little bit better.
Now we won't get in trouble if you tell us what did Deion Sanders say about the Chiefs or maybe the quarterback.
No, that was Michael Irvin.
Yeah. Oh, you said Deion.
Michael Irvin on their show was talking about quarterbacks. So they were talking about bold predictions and so forth. And, of course, Michael Irvin. So when he got to talk about the Chiefs quarterback, he referred to him as Mahomos, to which everybody on the set cracked up. I mean, it was hard to keep a straight face.
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go home.
Yeah. All right, yeah, I'm going to go to the Chiefs as well. I can't see the Patriots. I think they're just, man, I know.
Average.
I don't know.
Average
I
coaching,
think they're a little...
average quarterback. Average...
See, I'm not trying to say all that.
They're missing
I just
a running back.
Say...
They should contact
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Well,
yeah.
Hang on, man.
Yeah,
okay. That's the guy to go with.
Okay. Hey, Tyler.
Yes.
Can we get a weather report in Green
right
Bay?
Right there. Already got it.
Already got it.
38 degrees on Monday night.
It's going to be a cold one.
It's going to be a cold one.
In Green Bay. It was inevitable, Tyler. It was going to happen.
It's going to happen. I just keep saying it's going to hit one point. Yeah.
Sooner or later, you're going to get it right.
At some point.
All right. 49ers at the Packers. Packers giving up 11 points.
Yes. I'm going to take my beloved double-digit spread.
Yes.
And I'm going to lay the 11 points and take the Packers at home against the 49ers.
Okay.
This is a hard one for me to
pick. Is it?
Double points. But I'm gonna go with the 49ers as of right now and take the 11 points.
All right, Tyler.
You know it's cold. It's got to go with the Packers. It's going to go with the Packers.
Got to go with the Packers. I think I'm going to go with the Packers as well. Saints off this weekend. It's going to be.
You skipped the game.
What? No, I didn't skip a game.
Yes, you did.
Maybe I didn't skip it. Maybe I skipped it on purpose. What game?
Buccaneers-Falcons.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's a big game. Yeah, sure. Who do you have?
I got the Falcons at home.
I'm like you. I can't take the bastards. So, therefore, I'm going to take the Buccaneers in the 3.
Okay. Tyler?
Falcons.
Buccaneers. I'm going to the Buccaneers. Hey, for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune in.